We continue our learning. We're in Timur. Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalet. Ve'elu hein hanik barim. Going to be listing in our Mishnah those items that are asur bahana and have to be buried. We'll discuss in the next Mishnah items that are asur bahana and must be burnt. So here are the nikbarim, the ones that must be buried. Kadshim shehi pilu yi kavru. If you have behemos kadshim, animals that are karbanos, and the mother, which is a karban, was pregnant and now miscarried. Halacha is that the nafel, that miscarried fetus, is supposed to be buried. Hipila shilya, let's say it's miscarried, shilya is a placenta, so this is the afterbirth. So Mishnah says, even that shilya tikaver, we assume ain shilya below vlad, we assume that there's a shilya that must have been a vlad. We don't see it, maybe it's dissolved, but nonetheless, the shilya must be buried because we assume there's a vlad, there must have been a fetus there. Shor haniskol. Shor haniskol is a shor that's supposed to get skila. Why? Because it killed a person. And the pasuk says, v'lo ye'ochel es bisaro, which means that even before you kill it, there is a prohibition. Obviously, after you kill it, you can't get hana. But even before that, once it's convicted, lo ye'ochel es bisaro, that shor haniskol is asur bahana. What are we supposed to do with the shor haniskol? So even with the gemar din of skila, even if it wasn't killed, halach is it must be buried. The egla arufa. Egla arufa is asur bahana because it says in the pasuk regarding egla arufa, kaper lamcha Yisrael, where the Beis Din gets together and says, this should be an atonement for the Jewish people. Remember, someone died between two cities. They had to measure, bring this egla and kill it by the back of the neck. So kaper lamcha Yisrael, or kaper, it's like kapar, atonement, like karbanos. And therefore, if karbanos have to be buried, are asur bahana, and therefore are buried, egla arufa is asur bahana, and therefore must be buried. And others claim it's based on the following pasuk, v'arufu sham es ha'egla banachal. What do they do? They break the back of the neck of the egla, of the calf, and the nachal, and the wadi. And what is sham v'arufu sham? Sham tehe kivurasa. Sounds like Matan Torah. Sham tehe kivurashem. Kafal hemichar kigigis. So that word sham tells us that's where it should stay, that's where it should be buried. So the egla roof is asur bahana, either because it says kaper, or because it says sham. Either way, it's asur bahana, and it's supposed to be buried. Vitzipore mitzora, the two birds that are brought by a mitzora going through the purification process after tzaras. So one of those birds is shechted. One is thrown al pnei hasadeh, is tossed away. So according to some, tzipor mitzora means both of the birds are asur bahana, and therefore both must be buried. And others claim it's only a reference to the tzipor hashchuta, the one that shechted, only that is asur bahana. That is derived from egla arufa. The Gemara has a special drasha, how it's derived in Maseches Kiddushin Adaf Nun Zayin, it's discussed. The sipur that's mishtalachas, that's sent away, is not asur bahana. In fact, there's much discussion about the connection between the two tzipor and mitzora, where one is shechted, one is sent away. And so to the two seirim of Yom Kippur, one is shechted, one is sent away. According to one opinion, the one that is sent away of the tzipor and mitzora of those birds is not asur bahana. But at least the shchuta one must be buried, and according to others, both are buried. Usa'ar nazir, the hair of the Nazir. The pasuk says, Kadosh Yihyeh Gadel Pera Sa'ar Rosho. So we describe that Gidulo Yehe Kadosh, the growing of the hair itself, is holy. If it's holy, that means it's asur bahana. What are we supposed to do with it? We're supposed to bury it. But this is only a reference to the hair of the Nazir, where he became Tameh during the time of his count, and therefore had to start counting again. He has to do a Tiglachas, has to shave off the hair on his head. When he became Tameh, that hair is buried. The hair that is cut off, that's shaved at the end of the count, which is what we call Tiglachas Hatara, so that is burnt in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Lishkas HaNazirim. That is burnt, that is not buried. Upeter Chamor. Peter Chamor, the firstborn donkey, which is holy, we're supposed to, as discussed at the end of Parshas Bo, supposed to redeem it with a seg, give the set to a Kohen, and then it's released from its Kedusha. So there, it also speaks about if you don't redeem it with a seh, so then you have to break the back of the neck. There's arefa done there as well. So there's a gzereshava connection between the arefa of the petach hamor and the arefa, the breaking the back of the neck of the egla arufa. And since egla arufa is asur b'hanai, must be buried, the petach hamor as well is asur b'hanai, must be buried. Basur b'cholav is asur b'hanai and must be buried. Hadamani utzas b'hanai, lo sevashel, gidi b'chalei v'mos. Written three times. One is for an Isra Achila, one's for an Isra Hana, and one's for an Isra Bishul. You can't even cook the two together if you're not going to be eating it or getting benefit. Getting benefit, of course, is feeding to animals, which is prohibited. We can't even feed our animals, Basar B'chalav, and we can't sell to a non-Jew. So Basar B'chalav, what do we do with it? It is Asar B'hana, we bury it. V'chulin shenishchatu ba'azara. If we have chulin, non-holy animals that were brought into the Beis HaMikdash and shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, that is Asar B'hana, and that is supposed to be buried. What is that based on? So the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin Adaf Nun Ches, and Rashi there discusses it at length, says that this is derived. How do I know? What's wrong? What's the issue with bringing chulin into the Azara that should be prohibited in its Asra Bahana? So it's a little bit complicated. The Pasuk says in Pasha Tishbatim, this week's Pasha, it says, Uvasar basadeh trefa lo sochelu lakelev tashluchun oso. Simply understood is that if you have a trefa animal, so it's asra ba'achila, but it's muta ba'hana. That's why you could throw it to your dogs. That's what the pasuk says. But there's a word that's strange there. It says uvasar ba'sadeh trefa lo sochelu. What does sadeh mean? Sadeh means out in the fields. We assume that the Torah, when it writes out in the fields, it means the following. It's referring to where you have something, basar, flesh, that is outside of its mechitza, outside of its typical confines. And what does it say? It says, oh, that basar is, as well, is going to be mutar bahana. So what is that discussing? So what is that discussing? What type of basar is out of its confines that we're saying is mutar bahana besides... Send it to the dogs. Besides, of course, the trefa itself. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, there's a type of basar that's left its confines, its mechitzos, its partitions. You know what that is? That's what we call the ben pekua. Ben pekua, well, it's really an exception to the ben pekua. Ben pekua is where we've had this in the past, where you have an animal is pregnant and you shecht the mother. So the halacha is that child, that baby, you can eat even without shechita. Some debate how long, let's say it's running around, it's already 5 years old running around. For most Tanam will say at that point already it's marasayin if you're gonna you see someone eating that without shechita. But and others other Tanaim say no, that's even allowed even when it's much older. But ben pekua is where we're able to eat the fetus that was shechted even after it's born. You're able to eat it without shechita at all. Because why? Because you shechted the mother and becomes mutter with the shechita of the mother. That's ben pekua. However, let's say that fetus stuck out its arm, stuck out a limb from the mother. So that is basa. That's flesh that's left its mechitza. It's left its partition. Left his confines. The halacha there is, that's like it went out into the sadeh. So let's apply that to this pasuk. Uvasar basadeh trefa lo sochelu. Besides the trefa is the basar basadeh went out into the fields, left it to the stomach, the womb of the mother. So then that's lo sochelu, that you're not permitted to eat. That does not become permitted with the shechita of the mother. It's mutar bahana, you can feed it to your dogs, but it's not, it's asur for you to eat. That implies that there may be some other basar basadeh, that if you're telling me, oh, that's the basar basadeh, that's mutter, that's going to be mutter bahana, but asur bahachila. That implies there's going to be something else that's going to actually be asur bahana, where there is an issue of mechitza. What's that? That's our case. Chulin shenishchatu ba'azar. Here you have chulin, and it doesn't belong in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. And you brought it and you shecht it there. The pasuk is there to teach you through inference that's a case of where something is in the wrong mechitza, that is actually asur bahana. So that's why chulin shenishchatu ba'azara, based on that pasuk, is asur bahana, and therefore it's in the wrong confines, it went into the wrong mechitza, that is asur bahana, and that therefore should be buried as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chulin shenishchatu ba'azara yisarfu. He says chulin that was shechted in the Azara should not be buried, but the more strict halacha it should be burnt. Why should that be? So he believes that that's a gzeira, because many karbanos that become pasul in the Beis HaMikdash have the halacha of sreifa. So we're afraid that maybe since it's in the azara, you make it mixed up with other animals, you may think that, oh, other animals, if I'm able to bury the chulin shenishkatu ba'azara, you may think you should be burying other psulei hamikdashim, other animals that are really karbanos that became pasul that need to be burnt. Therefore, we burn everything in the azara. Something that's pasul in the azara, we're supposed to burn it. Even the chulin shenishkatu ba'azara, we should not bury. V'chein chaya shenishkata ba'azara. Then Rabbi Shimon goes a step further. Even though the chaya, let's say a deer, a kosher animal, that can't be used as a carbon at all. A chaya that was brought into the azara of the Beis HaMikdash, you shechted it there. So that won't be confused with other animals, because you can't, with carbonos that became possible that have to be burnt, because this is a chaya, it's a deer, it's not a behemoth, it's not used as a carbon at all. Nonetheless, even there, that's all part of the gzera, even a chaya shechted in the azara should be burnt according to Rabbi Shimon and should not be buried. But we follow the opinion of the Chachamim that they are buried. Perek Zayin Mishnah Hei Ve'ilu in Asrafim. Now we're going to list the Nisrafim. Those items that are Asra Bahana, that must be burnt. Not buried, but burnt. Chametz ba'Pesach Yisoreif. Chametz on Pesach, so that has to be burnt. The Gemara explains that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue in Maseches Pesachim. What are we supposed to do with chametz? So the Chachamim say, Af mefarer v'zorah l'ruach meitelayam. If you want, you can crumble it up and throw it into the wind, or you can throw it into the sea. Maybe even without crumbling it up, you can throw it into the sea. That's what you can do with chametz. You can burn it too, but you don't have to burn it. But Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, ain bir chametz el esreifa. No, it must be burnt, because we compare chametz to noser. Just like noser is something that is usually mutter for a certain period of time, but afterwards, at some point, it becomes asur beyond its time. Chametz as well. It's a mutter yet regularly, but comes Pesach, it's going to be asur. So we compare chametz to noser. Just like noser is burnt, the chametz must be burnt as well. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda must be the author of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that chametz bePesach yisareif. Utruma tameya. What else is on this list? Truma Tameya. I have truma that was supposed to give to the Kohen. Could be oil, could be wine, could be grain, and it became Tamei, so the Kohen can't use this, can't eat it. So the halacha is that it must be burnt. It's no different than kutchin. Truma is also holy, maybe not the same holiness level of karbanos, but nonetheless it's holy. In other areas we treat truma like kutchin, and therefore if it comes tamei, it must be burnt. We'll learn later that the truma is a little bit of an exception, because although truma must be burnt, it can't be eaten, there's a way to benefit from it as it's burning, and used. It can be used for fuel, for energy, for light, for heat, as it's burning, as you're getting rid of it. So we'll see that in a moment. But truma tamea must be burnt. The arla v'kilei akerim must be burnt. Arla, if you have fruit from the first 3 years of a tree, it's asra bahana, kilei akerim, intermingling of, let's say, weed and barley together with the vines. So that is asra bahana. Those two are usually on the same level. And we say that they're both, although certain things are butter 1 in 60, chumas butter 1 in 100, and kilei akerim and arla are only butter 1 in 200. So arla and kilei akerim must be burnt. How do I know that? So the pasuk says regarding kilei akerim, pentigdash hamaleya, that the produce becomes kadosh, sanctified, it means becomes prohibited, really. One must separate from it, becomes asa bahana. But the word tigdash can be also a contraction of tukad esh, where the fire, it's burnt in the fire. So that is a source from the Torah that kilei akerim are burnt, and since arla is compared to kilei akerim in many ways, that should also be burnt. Eshedarko, now, not in every type of oral or kelei akerim can be burnt. Eshedarko li sarev yisarev, vezdarko li kaver yikaver. If it's oral and kelei akerim, which can typically be burnt, which are, let's say, fruit, solids, so that's fine. Those types of food should be burnt. But if, let's say, they're liquids, which really can't be burnt properly, so then they should be buried. And then the Mishnah concludes, as which we alluded to before, uman likin bepas uveshemen shel trumiyav, pass that of truma that became tame, or shemen of truma that became tame, you're allowed to use that as fuel. The Kohen can get hanoah from it as it is being burnt. So although we have truma on the list with chametz that needs to be burnt and arlen kelakim needs to be burnt, there's one, the truma is an exception in that benefit, you're permitted, the kohen can get benefit from it as it is burning. In fact, we may know this from the Mishnah in Bamei Malikin. Mishnah Bamei Malikin says, Ein Malikin b'shemen sreifa b'yom tov. You're not permitted to light, to use the candle, to light candles from shemen sreifa for on yom tov. So what's shemen sreifa? Shemen sreifa is oil that must be burnt. What's oil that must be burnt? Oil that was truma oil, and it became tummy with halachas it need to be burnt. So then on a random Tuesday, nothing wrong with using that as fuel, as light, the Kohen is able to get on as it's burning. The problem is that to use that on yontif, although we can light a fire from an existing flame on yontif, we cannot use truma tameo. Why not? Because since there's a mitzvah to burn it, and truma is compared to karbanos, and karbanos were not permitted to burn on yontif. How do I know? Because it says in Parshas Bo, if I have left over, I have no sort of a karban. The Torah says, lo sosiru mimenu ad boker, v'hanosar mimenu ad boker, v'esh distrofu. What's the double ad boker? To tell you that the leftover from the of the karban Pesach, you can't burn on Yontif morning on the 15th. You have to wait Chol HaMoed on the 16th to burn it. Because there's a special halacha, no burning of kachim on Yontif. And truma, since it's also holy, it's compared to kachim, no burning of truma tamea on Yontif. So, ein malikin v'shemen sreifa b'yomtov. But to use it on another day, to light it and to use it as fuel, that is permitted.